I always like to say, well, I don't like it, but, you know, I always say that the most depressing books in the Bible, I think, are the books of Kings and Chronicles. They're basically the same. Chronicles is a later. It's later, and it leaves out the whole Northern Kingdom. But it's done kind of after all of this, as we read. But in any event, yeah, the reason they're depressing to me, it's the Chronicles of the Kings, beginning with Solomon. You know, and things are going good under Solomon. But immediately after Solomon, first of all, the kingdom splits, mainly because of Solomon's, but it splits into a northern kingdom that was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. That's the one where the capital was in Jerusalem. And so you have two sets. This is in the books of Kings. You have two sets of kings, both one in the north, one in the south. And king after king, it says, so-and-so was king in Israel. He reigned 25 years. He did evil in the sight of God. He worshiped the Baals. He sacrificed his sons to Baal and all this. And then, you know, in the southern kingdom as well, so-and-so, he reigned 30 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of God, and he did the same things. It's the same things. And one seems like about one out of every four, maybe, if it's even that much, I'm being optimistic. It seems like about one out of every four, you know, so-and-so reigned in Jerusalem. He reigned for 40 years, and he did good in the sight of God. He was holy. He offered God. You know, every once in a while there was a reformer. Hezekiah was one. But for the most part, they did evil. And the book of Chronicles today, and this is kind of summing up everything. This is summing up everything after the exile and after they had been able to go back. It says, early and often did God send messengers, and he did. The earliest messenger that I can think of was Amos, who was sent to the north to call them back. This would be, the north fell in 720 B.C., so it would have to be before that. 800s or 700s B.C. they sent, which is not that long after. You know, God sent, he has sent Amos, he sent Hosea, he sent Elijah, he sent Elisha, he sent Isaiah, he sent the 12 and the other prophets, and probably he sent some that weren't there, and they all said, they all tried to call back. They all tried to say, look, this kingdom is, you are descent, and in a way, both, certainly the southern kingdom in Jerusalem was the throne of David that they were sitting on. You are sitting on the throne of David. God gave you this. Worship, you know, be faithful to the covenant. God is faithful to you. Be faithful to the covenant. You know, come back to me. Hosea says, come back to me. You know, after six or eight chapters of really excoriating the people and the king, Hosea says, but if you come back to me, God says, if you come back to me, I will take you. And God keeps offering this gift throughout the kingdoms. That's what Paul calls this. It's a gift, and it is a gift. It's a gift. It's the gift of himself. It's the gift of being his people. That's the way to live. And he keeps offering this gift to them. And throughout history, offering early and often, he sent messengers and the people. They'd come back for a while, but then the ways of the world would tempt them. Finally, with the conquest of Jerusalem, the northern kingdom fell in 720 to the Assyrians, and the southern one fell in 580 something to the Babylonians. They were taken into exile. They were restored. And, you know, that's what Chronicles is saying. The people finally maybe got it, you know. And they did. Things were better after that, but there was still a tendency to wander away. And the thing is, part of what that is pointing out is the nation, yes, but also our individual path with God. God is here, and He early and often He sends us messages, whatever they are. He gives us a conscience, first of all. He early and often God sends us messages, and what is He offering? He's offering Himself. He's offering life. He's offering eternal life. He's offering light. We might think of it as God, Isaiah calls the, it compares heaven to a banquet, a celebration of the best foods you can think of. So, think of it this way. God is offering us the best food we can think of, like the perfect filet mignon just done perfectly. That, however you like it and whatever you like with that, it's perfect. Everything's perfect. Or for me, maybe it would be the perfect Chicago-style pizza. God is offering that. Whatever you can think of as the best food you can think of, God is offering us that. And we're kind of saying, oh, no thanks, I'd rather eat dirt. I think this dirt is good. This is, this dirt, I understand it. It's my, that's what we're doing. We're eating dirt instead of what God has to offer us. But finally, God, in this process of sending messengers early and often, finally God sends Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. John's Gospel tells us in that familiar passage. And the word, sometimes, I think when I learned it from the King James, it said God sent His only Son into the world. But this one says God gave us His Son. And that's what He did. He gave us His Son. And, John likes to use things. John's language is deceptively simple because he gives things a double meaning. And God gave us His Son in that He gave us Jesus, yes, but He's also giving us this gift that He's been offering throughout. He's giving us that, and it says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you remember that story, the people were whining like they always did, and like we do. And God sent them seraph serpents, poisonous or venomous snakes, to bite them. And Moses said, you sure you want to do this? Maybe we could give them a way to recover from these. And God said, okay, make a bronze serpent, hold up the bronze serpent, tell the people, whoever looks at the bronze serpent will be cured. And that's what happened. And so there is that sense that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and the Son of Man must be lifted up, and certainly the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross. But it also means that lifted up, the word exalted means lifted up. And so the Son of Man must be lifted up that way, but He must also be exalted, raised up that in that way. And really, that's what the cross does for Him as well. The cross, He transforms everything. Jesus transforms everything. The cross becomes not a symbol of death, but a symbol of life. In fact, it becomes the beginning of Jesus' exaltation, His glorification. And that's what He wants to offer us. We unite ourselves to Christ in our baptism and through our faith, and Christ wants to exalt us with Him. That we can be with Him at that heavenly banquet with the deep dish Chicago style pizza, perfect one, and not the dirt that we want to eat, And that's what He offers to us. And He just asks that we take it. That's what this season is about. And it's hard, John also points out that God offered the light. From the beginning, He offered the light, and people prefer the darkness. The kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, they preferred the darkness. What did they say to the messengers, to the prophets? Get out of here. That's what, for one, that they told Amos. He said, you know, get out of here, go back to where you came from. You know, they don't want to see the light, because it shows them, it kind of exposes them. They get in the light and they see how ugly their life has been. And we are afraid sometimes to do that, because being with God kind of, you know, sometimes that's why we sometimes are reluctant to come back or reluctant to go to confession, because we look at ourselves and we're afraid of what we might see. But the point is, God can take us all that. If we will go into the light, He can make us beautiful again. And that's what He offers too, life in the light. And that's certainly preferable to darkness, light in the light of Christ. And so God offers us this gift of His salvation, this gift of His life, this gift of His very self. And we ask Him to help us to prefer that gift over, to prefer that gift of the light to the gift of the darkness. And that's kind of what this season is about. So we hope that in this Lenten journey, we too will come to know the light and to seek to live in the light and to give and to take the gift, accept, I should say, maybe, accept the gift that He offers us.